Evening. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness, and because of it he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins, as for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," just as he says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this time. Just pray that you will come and be with us, God, and speak to us, and we invite your presence here. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Every time I've been coming here, I've been sharing the word from Hebrews, and I've been going through the book of Hebrews. And we start in chapter 5 today. It says, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God." So we can see that obviously chapter 5 is not a chapter on itself. It comes after chapter 4, and it's a continuation of this topic that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. And actually, Jesus being the high priest, it comes out first in chapter 2. Chapter 2, can't find it exactly. Give heed, earth subject to man. Maybe chapter 3. Chapter 2. Verse 17, chapter 2. He says, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." So the whole idea of the book of the Hebrews is the writer is writing to a bunch of Jewish people, and is trying to convince them or trying to encourage them to persevere in their faith in Jesus Christ, because they're starting to have some doubts. Even though they have put their faith in Jesus, they're starting to have doubts and starting to wonder whether they're doing the right thing. So he's writing to them to encourage them and say, "No, you have made the right choice." And it begins by saying how Jesus, you know, is greater than the angels. And he wants to make a point because, you know, the Jewish system, they're all very accustomed to this whole idea of a high priest. And they understand that whole system of people coming to a high priest and the high priest taking the people to the presence of God by making sacrifices for them and making prayers for them. So he wants to share with them this idea of Jesus being the high priest. And he says that, mentions that in chapter 2, and then he talks about that a little bit in chapter 3, but then he kind of begins to talk a little bit about how Jesus is greater than Moses. And then he comes back to this idea of Jesus being a high priest in verse 14 of chapter 4, right before we come to chapter 5. And it says, "Since then we have a great high priest," this is verse 14 of chapter 4, Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. And after that, he's continuing to explain what this means, that Jesus is our high priest. And that's how we start chapter 5. So it says, every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men. And he's talking about what a high priest is and how Jesus is also our high priest. And after he makes that case about Jesus becoming the high priest, he wants to keep talking about this idea of Jesus being the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And he's going to continue to explain later on in the book, but he kind of stops in verse 11. So it's like he's got one idea, the writer of Hebrews got this one idea about Jesus being the high priest, and he wants to talk about it, but he keeps going off in tangents to explain different things. And in this chapter, what he's doing, he's talking about Jesus being the high priest, but then starting verse 11, he goes off on a tangent, and he's saying, hey, I have a lot of things that I want to talk about this guy Melchizedek and how Jesus is a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, but you have become dull of hearing. He's kind of rebuking them a little bit and saying, you guys should be, by this time, ready to hear these things about Melchizedek, but you're still a babe. You're still just, you know, you're needing milk and you're not able to digest solid food. But then he will come back and he's going to talk about that a little bit, and he'll come back in chapter 7 to continue to talk about Jesus being the high priest. But I just want to talk a little bit about what this means, that Jesus is our high priest. First of all, we should be very, very glad, you know. I hope we could take this, that this truth becomes real to us in our lives, you know, that Jesus is our high priest. That whenever we're going through a weakness, we have somebody, we have an advocate who stands in the gap and who will make our case for us. You know, whenever you're going through a weakness, you're going through a sin, you're going through some times of difficulty, you can trust that Jesus is out there and he's got your back, you know. The closest thing that just comes to mind right now would be, like, I have an older brother, right? And whenever we were little, he played like this role of mediator between me and the parents. You know, I was a bit more rebellious. I was still a very good guy, good boy. You know, I didn't rebel. I didn't really do anything crazy, but I would push the boundaries just a little bit more. And my parents would have issues with that. But Matt, my brother, he would always kind of be in the gap, you know, and he would stand up for me. And he would try to explain things better to my parents, you know. And I would be all upset and I'd be frustrated with my parents. And my parents would be frustrated and they would be mad at me. And Matt's in between and he's like, you know, blah, blah, blah to my parents about how my intentions. And then he'll talk to me about my parents. But we have an advocate. And I really hope this truth sinks into your heart, that you don't have to ever feel condemned, or you don't ever have to feel like you're not good enough to stand in God's presence. We can always have this confidence whenever you turn to God, and whatever state you're in your heart, you can turn to God with confidence and you don't have to feel like you're not good enough. It was P. Sam who mentioned, I guess when they go to EG retreat, he will ask, or he's asked in the past, you know, he would say, you know, if 1 to 10, where do you, like, place yourself in terms of your relationship with God? You know, and nobody ever gives a 10. You know, everybody is like 5, 6. You know, if you're really holy, you think 7, 8, because you've been praying well or whatever. But, you know, P. Sam would say, I'm a 10, right? But he's a 10, not because of what he's done. He's a 10 because of what Jesus Christ has done, and because he is our high priest who stands in the gap for us whenever we're going through a tough time, and he's the advocate for us. So really, positionally, every single one of us, once we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're all a 10, Right? Because there is nothing you can do to become a 10. Like, don't ever think that it is by your efforts, because you prayed hard enough and because you read the Bible this whole week and you were faithful in that, that you're a 10 in your relationship with God. You're a 10 because you have a high priest, an advocate, Jesus Christ, who stands in the gap for you and who brings you into the presence of the Father. So we can always rest assured, even this morning as we come before God to pray, you don't have to spend 10 minutes just confessing, you know, and just being like, God, I'm not good enough, and you know, humbling yourself in that way, because that's not even true humility, first of all. And, you know, you just come humbly recognizing that by the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, you have confidence to stand in his presence. And you come before him, you know, as you would a father. You know, my father is in town. He came in yesterday. And this morning, I didn't have any money for cab money. So I barely say good morning to him, but I say, Dad, $20? And he's like, sure, no problem. He gives me $20. You can go to the Father God in the same way, you know. You can go to him. You don't have to pretend, you know, in any way. You just say, Dad, $20? And you just go to God in that way with confidence. That's the first thing. Jesus is our high priest, and he knows what we're going through. And that's what he says, right, in verse 2. He can deal gently. This is talking about a high priest. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, see, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins as for the people, so also for himself. This is talking about a human high priest, that he also has weaknesses, and he also, you know, is sinful. So he knows what the person is going through that he is making the sacrifice for. But in the same way, if you look down at verse 7, in the days of his flesh, this is talking about Jesus, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became all those who obey him, the source of eternal salvation. So what this writer is saying, Jesus was exactly 100% fully man. You know, he also had to learn obedience through the things he suffered. And he also was heard by God because of his piety and because he prayed and he cried out to God with many cries and supplications. Jesus was, although he was a son of God, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. And we know that passage, I think in Philippians, where, you know, it says, Jesus emptied himself. You know, let's also have this attitude in ourselves. Jesus emptied himself, and he gave up, you know, his basically the attributes of him being God, so that he may be able to serve, you know, us as a human being. And we know through that Jesus was fully man when he was on earth. And being fully man means he also had the same struggles, the same weaknesses, the same things that we go through. He experienced and he understands. You know, just as a human high priest knew what the person was going through, that he was making a sacrifice for on behalf of him to the Father, Jesus himself knows what we're going through, and he knows our weaknesses. So really, this morning, I want us to come before Jesus with our weaknesses and with our struggles and say, Jesus, this is what I'm going through. Let's not pretend like we're more pious than we are. You know, let's not come before God with any pretense. We just come as we are and say, "This is, oh, I'm struggling with this, Jesus, but I thank you that you understand what I'm going through." Because he was fully man, and he knows the struggles that we as human beings go through. And then, yeah, and the second thing is, reading from verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time You ought to be teachers. You need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. And for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you with that, you know. He's basically saying, hey, by this time you ought to be teachers. By this time you ought to be leading people and teaching people about these things. But you are in need of milk again, and you're in need of someone to teach you things again. So whatever that means to you, right? I mean, some of us have been Christians for a long time. Some of us have been Christians for a short time. But you know, are you growing? Are you learning enough? And don't let this condemn you, right? Don't ever think spiritual disciplines is something that you need to do to earn your acceptance into the presence of God, right? That's never the case. So we never put spiritual discipline as something that we need to do to have a right standing before God, because we have a right standing before God because of Jesus Christ. So don't feel guilty. Don't feel like, oh man, I'm a baby. I'm not teaching. I'm not leading people. But we need to exercise these spiritual disciplines because it positions us in a place where we can experience God more. And this is part of our growth process. You know, this is what Jesus wants for us, to be disciplined so that we can experience him more and for us to be used by God to teach people. So whatever place you're in, you know, are you really stepping out in faith to lead people? Are you stepping out in faith to teach people? Or do you still, you know, just tell yourself that, oh, I'm just a weak whatever, you know, I'm not a house church leader, I'm just a churchgoer kind of thing, you know, and you kind of place yourself outside of this calling that we have as followers of Jesus Christ to bring people closer to God. And let us just be obedient, you know, when Pastor Sam or your house church leaders or just your leaders kind of call you to obey and call you to leadership, let's be obedient to that because you know, that's God kind of calling us into a bigger responsibility. And, you know, it's just, yeah. And remember what P. Sam said. If a leader calls you and puts you in a position of leadership and you fail, it's not your fault. It's that leader's fault, whoever called you, because he should have done it right. So, I mean, I'm going off in a tangent, but just let's be obedient to God, you know. Let's not be lazy, you know. Let's not just take always the easy road, but, you know, whatever opportunity we have, as God calls us, let's teach and let's lead people the way he wants us to. So, this morning, Yvain's actually going to come. She's going to lead us in worship. But let's first just go before God and meditate upon this idea that Jesus is our high priest, that we have somebody who stands in the gap for us in all of our weaknesses, and we can just go to God confidently because Jesus is standing in the gap for us, and he's making the case for us. And he's the one bringing us into the presence of God. And let's come before him honestly. Let's just come before him with all our weaknesses and struggles and whatever questions you have, whatever doubts you may have.
My heart so close, I believe. holding me now in your hands. I belong. You'll never let me go. So close, I believe. You're holding me now in your hands. I belong. You'll never let me go.
Peter chapter 2 tells us that we are also a royal priesthood. And if you know of anyone, any brothers or sisters, a church, or family members or friends that are going through a tough time, let's also just lift them up. Let's stand in the gap for them before the Lord, and let's pray for them and bring them to God's attention. You know, so let's, you know, you go before God on your own. And also, if you know of anyone that's struggling, that needs some prayer, let's lift them up and pray that God would just in His mercy really turn to them and minister to those people too. So let's pray together. Let's pray together for our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan. And Kenny Yeh, he's one of the missionaries that we've sent. He's in Nagoya, so let's pray for him. That he will be faithful in his ministry, that God would really speak to him and bless him and encourage him. And also let's just pray for the land of Japan. Just pray for God's mercy in that land, that Holy Spirit will just move in a mighty way in that nation to bring people to know him. Let's pray for Thailand and Rachel, who's there as a missionary with YWAM. Let's pray that God would really bless her and strengthen her and provide for her. She's in need of financial provision, so let's lift her up. And also North Korea, let's pray for the churches there. Let's pray for the Christians there. Let's also pray for Chris Kim, who is our contact there. Pray for his family, and pray for just him, that he will continue to just be led and directed by God. And let's pray for North Korea, that God will move in that nation. So let's pray together. Let's pray for our SP ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, our children's ministry. Pray for Pastor Carol. She leads this ministry. And pray for the youth group, SP Youth. Pray for myself as the youth pastor. And pray for our students that come, that they will be consistent and that they will really grow by them coming to church. So let's pray for the two ministries. Pray for SP 1.5. We'll be moving in on the 23rd of October. That's our first Sunday. So there's a lot of things that still need to get done. Let's just pray that things will go smoothly. And let's pray that as a church spiritually, that we'll also just be ready and really pumped up and fired up for what God is doing in our church. And let's just pray that God's hand will be over this whole thing, so that we'll be able to move in time, and it'll be just a great time of celebration. So let's pray for SP 1.5. Let's pray for our house churches. Let's pray for Bonham House Church, Kennedy House Church, and PP Happy Valley House Church that they'll be meeting today. Let's just pray for the presence of God to be there in all of those meetings, for it to be a real meaningful time, and just that ministry will flow out of this time. So let's pray for our house churches. Lift up our brothers and sisters who's just going through a tough time. Charles's father is sick with cancer. Alex's father is sick with cancer. Kian's mother with cancer. And Krista's auntie had cancer. And Irie's mom just had surgery and she's recovering. So let's lift her up too. And also lift up like Alex and Charles and Kian and Irie and Krista and anybody else that you know. Let's pray that God would really bring his revelation and his comfort to them. And let's also pray for those that are seeking for a job. Let's pray that God would really give them favor and lead them and just provide for these brothers and sisters of ours. So let's pray and lift up those that are in need, that are going through a tough time. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We just love you. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the high priest, that we can come before you just as we are. And I thank you that you understand what we're going through. And I just rebuke that spirit of condemnation and the deception and shame that the enemy brings against us, God, as if it depended upon our behavior or our devotion. You know, I thank you, Lord, that it's all dependent on you, Lord Jesus, God, and that we can have confidence that you love us, God, and that you enjoy us, God, right now this morning. So we just want to come before you in that, and just trusting in Jesus. And we want to thank you for that. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be with us throughout the rest of this day. We want to live for you. Strengthen us, God, and lead us closer to you. We want to bring joy to your heart, God, today. Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your goodness, God. And we just lift up our day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. And bless you.